This is Mark Kermode. This is the Film Show on URN.
Cheers, Mark.
What a legend.
Yeah, so we're going to get back to a bit more Blade Runner discussion. And obviously, like we said, one of the big things that we need to talk about was the pacing of the film, because it is very long. I thought there were actually various moments where I thought they could cut there and move on. Yeah. Or kind of, was that scene necessary? And often when you kind of looking back, I thought, okay, I realized why they needed to put in that scene. And it was actually quite nice at different points to think this is actually also not just a film, but a collection of stories of like shades of what it means to be alive. Like, or like shades of humanity, basically. Yeah. Where you have his, you know, kind of holographic girlfriend who is kind of at the end of that scale of truly being alive. You have him who's kind of somewhere in the middle. You know, you yeah. have then the actual human characters, like his boss and stuff like that, who are, you know, are they actually living in comparison? You know, so there was lots of questions like that.
It makes a point to show us, and this contributed to the length of the film, and in retrospect is so important, it showed us his isolation and the way other people treated him.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I think one of the biggest points I want to make about the pacing of the film is I think it did a better job than the original in handling its running time and building suspense.
Yeah, I definitely get that as well, actually. I think even though the original was shorter, it's actually it's not paced as well as the film is, but it does require you to take a step back and realize that, rather than when you're in there, it can be like,
I think even the producers of the original would be the first to admit that as well, given how many cuts
and there's still debate as to, you know, what is the definitive, you know, Blade Runner cut, kind of thing. And I've only seen one version. It's not the theatre release that went out first that people are like, oh, that's
I've only seen director's cut.
I assume I've seen the kind of correct one. But yeah, as to the new Blade Runner, you know, I think as well, you know, even that first scene when he's waiting around in the house for the guy to walk in, it's like,
you can instantly tell.
Just spoiled the whole movie.
Yeah, sorry. But I guess also with, you know, someone like Denis Villeneuve, after seeing that quite now famous Sicario scene where the suspense is built up for like, you know, a good 20 minutes where nothing happens, but then the payoff is amazing. We should kind of expect that when we see the films. But I was wondering actually what you thought of Jared Leto's performance, because I absolutely hated it. I thought it was awful.
Don't say I love Jared Leto.
He was honestly...
Pantomime, over the top.
Also, he had those weird farting robots the entire time that completely put me off.
Yeah.
Like, what was that noise they're making? It's just bizarre. And also, the fact that
so much hate for Jared.
The fact that he enters the first scene wearing kimono and slippers, I was just like, wow,
but
you're really going
that,
for it.
Did he?
No, I know that's the thing.
Yeah, Harry.
I feel like I don't hate Jared Leto because he's done some good performances in stuff like American Psycho and whatever. But I feel like studio executives are trying to like ram him down my throat, and I'm just like, no, I don't want to. other people pitch in with opinions on his performance rather than me just rant for a while.
I thought he did alright with what he was given, but you know, in retrospect he wasn't actually given that much to do. They didn't give him a lot to work with. I don't imagine the way they pitched a backstory, because we didn't really go into backstory or anything to do with this guy.
Yeah, and also his, like, I really feel they just picked, like, a gimmick out of the hat. It's like, oh, he has a god complex, so he's going to be talking a lot about angels. You know, it's like, you know, when you get those random name generators, you felt like they could have cobbled together his character just by picking out traits from a day and a month of when Jared Leto was born. And so, yeah, I just felt that was a bit kind of, you know, they could have worked on a better villain and given him better tools to work with.
I enjoyed it very much watching it, but on reflection, the more I think about it, it's weird to place who was the actual antagonist in the film.
Yeah.
Because towards the end, you've had your the Wallace Corporation exposing, like, you know, they seem to be such an intimidating corporation, and then he sort of fades off after, like, the sort of last scene, and then, obviously, I don't want to give too much away, but you sort of like, now who's the actual antagonist?
Well, that's the thing. I think Jamie might be right. They might be leaving space open for a third.
Yeah.
And
which possible, there's huge scope for.
Yeah, because like you said, Jared Leto's character is still around, but the main kind of antagonist, well, main antagonist, the kind of person who's dealing most of the pain is that underling robot, who really intent on kicking people in the face. I found I watched a fight. I was like, you can kick people other places than just in the face.
She's programmed kickboxing.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought she was a really cool kind of antagonist, actually.
Yeah.
She definitely kind of scared me a little bit. I thought as well the junkyard scene was possibly one of my favorites, and possibly my favorite actually in the film, because at that point I was quite worried I was in for another case of watching the original where it does drag and you're kind of checking your phone a little bit, and after the first half hour I was like, okay, this is interesting, this looks really nice. And then the junkyard scene is just amazing because not only is it complete change in terms of the color scheme that you're presented with, but also the action suddenly picks up loads where he's driving through, and just to kind of try and paint you a visual picture in him, all these kind of junkyard scrappers who are kind of like basically kind of vagrants who are armed with weapons, mm-hmm. start firing kind of rockets at him, mm-hmm. and so he's like dodging them, and then they fire a harpoon which I think connects to this kite which a lightning strike hits and completely like buzzes out his car, which causes him to crash, and then they all approach him, and mm-hmm. there's like 10 of them, and he's like a super powered robot, so he just beats the crap out of them. It's cool. But then like another 30 approach over the hill, and you're like, oh, he can't take 30, like that's ridiculous. And then suddenly out of nowhere these literally just drone strikes happen and just blow up everyone apart from him, and that's when it kind of you realize how powerful the Wallace Corporation are, that they've just got this drone flying overhead, like the person piloting it is getting her nails done, while also blowing up these people.
It adds to the sort of god
complex. Literally,
he's,
I think
it's like Zeus firing
lightning bolts kind of thing. Yeah,
that sounds really like cinematically really cool.
Yeah, it was
like a junkyard.
That looks really good.
Need to watch it.
I need to watch it. Sounds like my kind of film.
It's like a junkyard city almost. It's an abandoned, rundown city, and actually that does well in building the world a little bit, because there's a lot of questions we're not given the answer to, and we visit all sorts of these interesting places that we don't fully know the backstory for.
I think as well, when in the first kind of half hour it's a lot of blues and greens in terms of synthetic colours that you're met with, and then when you get to the junkyard it's a lot of greys and browns and stuff like that. And then when he goes to meet Harrison Ford, it's just red everywhere. And it is, I think, one of the things they learnt from the original was that actually I found the monochromatic way Blade Runner was kind of done originally, with apart from the odd kind of synthetic lights breaking up, to be actually quite draining. Whereas this, they really kind of just jumped the colour scheme around from section to section to keep things fresh and interesting, which was really fun. It's one of those things, like you said, with how they built the sets to be these kind of grand cinematic things that kind of go back to stuff like Ben-Hur, really impresses on you kind of the world building that went into
it.
You
feel a lot more immersed in it when everything's much bigger, much grander.
Yeah.
And I feel some sci-fi films, you feel like you don't really believe they're there.
Yeah.
But if they've built physical sets and the camera's within them, and then you can see, like Harrison Ford was saying on Graham Norton, that they'd built the neighbouring building on occasions and had extras acting within them as well. So very little green screen or anything.
For me, again, I don't know why I'm keeping going back to Lord of the Rings, but the fact that they literally built like Minas Tirith and Helm's Deep and all those places, that you could actually live there. So it's actually the for all its merits, for all the merits of CGI, it still doesn't replace, I think, having the physical stuff there in front of you, and really helps make people kind of connect with something rather than just, and also it must be so useful for the actors as well, for when they're interacting with something, to have it physically there in front of them rather than, here's a tennis ball, pretend that it's alien ship trying to whatever.
It's the same hallway 50 times.
Literally. But I think although that's the thing, we had a text in from Francis saying that it's deep, beautiful, stunning and brave. One of the best films of recent time, breathed new life into the original film, but still stands alone as an incredible masterpiece. Gosling, as always, is perfect for his role. So that was Francis's opinion. A lot of people have been raving about it. I thought it was really amazing, but still had some imperfections. and but it's still definitely, you know, worth seeing just to take it all in, really, I think.
Francis does make a really good point about breathing new life into the original film.
Yeah.
So it does help expand that world.
It does make me wonder how much they planned in terms of the original as to whether or not there would be any sort of aftermath of what happened. Because the fact that she's called Rachel and Jared Leto very kind of obviously alludes to the biblical story of Rachel, who's Mary's cousin in the gospel, who
I need filling in on this one.
I'm pretty sure it's Rachel. Basically, when Mary's pregnant with Jesus, they go and see some relatives where Mary, who've been assumed barren for many years, but then through a miracle of God, they're pregnant again, and she gives birth to John the Baptist. And so that's the kind of the biblical story behind that.
That is very relevant, actually.
Yeah, and so he alludes to it, but, you know, that's the thing. It is, yeah, like you said, kind of ties into it well, so I don't know if they ever thought, oh, yeah, Rachel, that's because there's going to be this whole thing in the future. I don't want to get too spoilery, but, it's a real throwback in terms of actually how many characters they bring back from the original. Because they bring back his kind of partner, who actually doesn't do much in the original, but they still have him in, and that was a scene I thought could be cut. Like, you know, all he says is like, "Oh yeah, he went missing," and that's literally that's the content of the scene. I think who knows if he was needed, or was it kind of slightly catering to the fan base a little bit?
They make reference to, because she reminded me of this scene. They make reference to the big debate over Harrison Ford's character in the original, whether he was a replicant. In the scene in the care home, there's a throwaway line about how he recognises something in his eyes about, talking about what Harrison Ford's character once wanted in the past, and that makes reference to the idea that in one scene you can see, like, a flash of red in Harrison Ford's eyes, and that some people take that as a hint that he is also a replicant.
And that's the thing, I wasn't sure if they were establishing any canon as to whether he is or not. Like, they left it open.
Yeah.
Like, you don't actually know if Harrison Ford is a replicant by the end of the film or whatever. I think the whole point about replicants, though, was that they had a lifespan of about a limited time.
Yeah.
But then there were some, apparently, who are able to live longer.
Like
Dave Bautista's
character at the beginning of the film.
I was wondering, I don't know what you guys think, but are we meant to assume that Rachel lived out her lifespan and that's why she is not in the sequel? I don't know.
Well, she dies in childbirth,
I think, is what they say.
And they find her ID number on her as well. But just before we break for another song, any kind of final thoughts on Blade Runner and anything you want to say?
I agree with Francis, who texted in.
Jerry?
I was very impressed. Yeah, I don't know how a sequel would go, but we'll see how this one does.
And Nim, you're going to see it now, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
I don't think I have an option.
I mean,
I feel like it sounds like really cool to see on screen.
Yeah,
so I feel like it's definitely
biggest screen possible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here's Shake It Out by Florence and the Machine.